We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, some of you got rain last night. Some of us didn't. I think we got here the Gabe Gadget 0.08 tenths of an inch here. And I think I got like 1,500 there at Carter. And the further south you went, the more they got. And down, it looks like down there between Hollis and Wellaston, you guys got nice rings, 1 to 2. I look, unless that deal's wrong, around Wellaston, 2.5 inches. So anyway, good deal. A lot of rain along the Red River. Just talked to a Facebook friend slash farmer over there that's west of Frederick, around the Frederick area. He got anywhere from 1/2 inch to 1 inch. So that's good. Well, welcome to the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau Association. And we got, and I probably said that wrong, but anyway, I'm thinking, I'm trying to find my spot here on the, there it is, I got you. I'm trying to find my mezzanet. Anyway, I don't think very well. Anyway, 75 degrees at Beaver, looks like probably the warmest spot in Oklahoma. 71 at Slapout, 72 at Arnett, 70 at Cheyenne, 70 at Hollis, 68 at Weatherford, 67. What is that? That's Watonga. I had to think about it. Let's see what's happening out here. And about the same thing going out in here in the Eastern Texas Panhandle. 69 at Odell, 69 at Goodland, 69 at Wellaston, and 69 at Lipscomb. 71 at Canadian, FYI. Got lots going on today, I think. Let me see. Yep. Yes, I think I'll give away some Oak Ridge boys tickets today. Oak Ridge brothers, Oak Ridge boys. We'll have some tickets to give away that. So listen, I won't make it too hard on you today. It is beef month, National Beef Month. And so the question I get hit up about a lot is grass-fed, grass-finished, or grain-finished beef. And I eat both. Do I favor one over the other? Yes, but it's all about personal preference. Well, I was on social media this morning, when I opened my eyes this morning, laying in bed, and I seen a deal on one of the pages that talk about one versus the other. And one thing to keep in mind is just because somebody eats grass-fed beef or somebody eats grain-fed beef, we don't want to, we shouldn't be against each other. As long as we eat beef, we're good. It's all personal preference. But I'm going to go over some of the things of grass-fed, grass-finished versus maybe even grass-fed beef-finished, because that's, from what I understand, that's a great combination. And we're just going to talk about it today, later on in the show, and get your opinion. The text line is always open here, 580-225-9697. But we get into that. So what that conversation on social media led into was GMO grains. And, you know, I've talked about it 3 or 4 times over the last 3 or 4 months about Mexico banning GMO corn, which is, you know, from the United States. So I've been researching it pretty hard the last 2 or 3 months without asking my wife, Dr. Clark, about it, because she has her opinion and I have my opinion. But I'm going to go over some of that with you guys later on. It's pretty interesting stuff about GMOs and a lot of myths and I got this from a very, very reliable source on the GMOs, and we're going to talk about marbling. And I'm not going to be scientific today. I'm just going to go on what I've studied. I'm no doctor, no nothing like that, or scientist, whatever you want to do. But we're going to talk about it, and you guys will be able to text in and talk about, give me your opinion, and we'll talk more about that. First of all, let's see what happened into the farm over the farm belt and the world overnight. See what's going on. This was overnight. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading on ample global supplies, while corn and beans were down on planting pressure. The European Union, wheat export since the beginning of July was at 26.5 million metric tons on May 7th. That's an 11% year-over-year increase, according to the European Commission. Russian wheat exports are forecast to reach a record this year also. And oilseed shipments are also expanding from Russia. Despite the Russians' claims of export challenges, Russians' grain and oilseed exports have thrived during the current marketing year with ample supplies and competitive prices. Export volumes may increase further, but Moscow has added export taxes and other trade restricting measures. Russia has complained ahead of the during negotiations to extend the Black Sea Grain Initiative, the agreement that kept agriculture products flowing out of Ukraine, that its own exports have suffered due to restrictions imposed after it attacked Ukraine in February of 2022. Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations continue to work and hammer out an extension which started at the beginning of August and was extended in November. Also weighing on prices is rainy weather in much of Kansas, the biggest producer of wheat, winter wheat in the United States, that giving crops in some counties a much needed drink of water. Must be way up north, because I'd say everything along the Kansas-Oklahoma state line and everything south, it's too late for a rain to help out too much on that. About 40 corn and soybean futures decline as planting in the U.S. rolls on. Speaking of corn, I hadn't looked at mine in 2 days. I went over there with my dryland corn. Went over there and looked at it last night under a spotlight. Looks good. It's about boot top high and getting after it. This rain and some sunshine will take it a long ways coming up this weekend if we get some of that rain. About 49% of the corn crop was in the ground at the start of the week, up from 26% a week earlier, according to the USDA. 12% have emerged from the ground, and about 6%, that's up from 6% last week, or the week before. Soybean sowing was up 35% completed versus 19% the week before. 9% has emerged. Wheat for July delivery fell 5.5 cents to 6.35¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 5.5 cents to 8.49¾ cents a bushel. Corn futures for July delivery dropped 2.5 cents to 5.91½ a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery was down 7.25 to 13.96¾ a bushel. Soy meal rose 30 cents to 4.1980 a short ton, while soybean oil lost 44.44 cents to 51.61 a pound. Weather in our farm belt. Flood warnings and watches have been issued for parts of northeastern Colorado, parts of northwestern Kansas, and western Nebraska amid strong storms, according to the National Weather Service. Flood warnings are in effect until 10 a.m. I guess it's up over with in northwestern Kansas, where flooding is intimate and already underway. Low water crossings with water, do not go through them, is what they're saying. Expect many areas of slow moving or standing water. Severe storms are likely across much of west central and southwestern Kansas today, with some producing damaging wind, hail, and possibly tornadoes. In central Arkansas, meanwhile, flash flood warnings are in effect this morning, where 2 to 4 inches of rain has already fallen and another 2 to 3 on the way. Little Rock and surrounding areas likely will see heavy rain to fall through the early morning hours. All right, when I come back from this Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, I'll update you on our current prices on grains, on a few of the grains, and give you some cattle numbers for live cattle and feeder futures. And then we're going to talk a little bit about beef. Got some things going on that I need to go over with you. I also got the Oklahoma Crop Progress Report. Talk a little bit about that. We got lots of things going on today. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We actually close our loans in-house, so we don't rely on an outside source to actually close or handle any of the signing of our documents. Most importantly, when dealing with a local bank, you're dealing with local people that are familiar with the area that you can always pick up the phone and call. We take pride in making sure we always return a phone call. Getting back in touch with the person over a phone call is very important to us. I'm Joe Shepherd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Oklahoma is an incredible mix of cultures and people. That's what makes our state great. Alcohol and substance use impact far too many individuals, families, and communities. Know your risks and how to help yourself, family, and friends. Visit OPAMReady.org for more information or call or text 988, Oklahoma's Mental Health Lifeline. This program is funded by Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Prevention Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the Center of Substance Abuse Prevention, and Southwestern Oklahoma Development Authority.
What's better than a new Hustler zero-turn mower? A new Hustler zero-turn mower with up to $350 in rebates. DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City is helping cut your grass and your cost. Purchase a new Hustler Raptor Series mower and get a rebate from $200 up to $350. What a grass cutting, money saving deal. This offer is only good till the end of May, so you better hustle.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and Milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it, just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Well, my beautiful wife is listening today. She sent me a text message and told me I was full of GMO poop. Anyway, I knew I could get her attention on this one. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, here is your weather. For Odell, humidity is 80%, temperature 70, Dew point 63. Wind is out of the southeast at 11 miles an hour with gusts up to 13. And peak gust so far today was 23. I'm going to say that's when storms rolled through there. They have 0.99 of an inch so far this month. And we're only at the 11th, so they're doing pretty good. Red flag minutes, zero. Sub-freezing minutes, zero. Aided soil temperature in Odell, Texas, 74 degrees. All right, let's move on over here and see. Let me update the current market overview and see what's happening. All right, corn for May, 632, down 13. July, 583, down 10. September, 514, down 8. Soybeans for May is 1445, up a little over 8 today already. July is 1404. August is 1335. Soybean meal for May, 42010, 42810 for July, and 42020 for August. Soybean oil for May, 5185. July is 5137. Hard red winter wheat down a little bit today, but still up above 9. May is 905. July is 843. Oats for May, 331. 333 for July. And cotton, just right there where it has been for the last few months, give or take a little bit, few pennies either way. Cotton for July is at 80 cents a pound. October is 81 cents a pound. Live cattle for June, 163.25. August is 161.30. October is 165 even. 169.20 for December. Feeder cattle for May, 205.10. 226.87 for August. Lean hogs for May, 76.65. June is 83.80. And July is 85.05. Crude oil is down today at 71.18 for June for West Texas Intermediate. Natural gas is up a little bit at 222 for June and just all hanging in there. Looks like the S&P and the Dow's are down today and the NASDAQ is up a little bit. So there's your futures going on. All right. Where did my paper go? There it goes. Anyway, today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. As Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are just $37.50 a year and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance. I might need life insurance after my GMO talk today. Free roadside assistance and discounts with various business. 580-497-2579. 497-2579. Or just go to okfarmbureau.org and find out more information about the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. How about that? Also, you guys, coming up, I know nobody ever turns down a free ribeye. If you do, you got issues. But if you're a farmer or livestock producer, then you're invited to attend one of the several ribeye steak dinners and informational meetings courtesy of Ag Defense Risk Management. They'll be sharing the latest details on recent changes to the subsidized programs offered by the USDA through federal crop insurance that helps to manage risks you face related to lack of rainfall and falling cattle prices. Leave your checkbooks at home and just plan on attending their next meeting. They got one coming up next Tuesday, May 16th at the 2M Ranch and at Home Feed Store. They're located at 120 North 4th Street in Sayre. Ribeyes will be served at 6:30. You don't need RSVP. Just go grab your wife, go check out the insurance. For more information, 580-454-4367, or you can go to agdefenserm.com. They got a lot of meetings coming up over the next few months, so get out and get you a free ribeye at one of these meetings. I plan to attend one. I think I'm going to go to the one at Woodward. I might go to the one at Sayre, depends on how hungry I am, but I want to go meet some new people in other areas of our farm belt here in western Oklahoma. All right, let's see here. A little information on WOTUS. Ag groups are closely watching for signs of movement at the nation's high court, preparing for justices to release their opinion on the Sackett case and the future of WOTUS. More than a dozen states currently have an injunction in place limiting the new rule's impact, and the NCBA has been closely working with the remainders to get producers some relief. These 26 states are states with four, I believe, all Republican attorney general who filed to sink those preliminary injunctions. So if you're in a state with a Democratic-led attorney general or a Democratic-led state government, your state was less likely to file and ask for that preliminary injunction because it might be more okay with the Biden rule. We continue to engage with those states, not only with the state governments, but with our producers in those states to ensure they have the resources they need, said Mary Thomas Hart. Justices began their assessment on the case last year. Shortly after they started, EPA finalized its rule establishing the definition of WOTUS, the waters of the United States, which led to all these injunctions. EPA Chief Michael Regan said, depending on what the Supreme Court decides in the Sackett case, the agency might have to adjust its rule. Dang right you will. The NCBA says the new rule should have never been implemented in the first place. And we all said that when it first came out there, what was in December. Why even bother? Because you're just going to have to go through a bunch more changes depending on what the Supreme Court says. The Sackett decision could come down this month. Farmers testified before Congress earlier this year expressing their frustrations, saying that they have struggled with uncertainty surrounding the WOTUS for decades. And it's true. It shouldn't even be an issue here, but government, just especially EPA, just getting involved in stuff they don't need to be involved in. Yes, everybody needs to be monitored. Hey, and speaking of water, let me go down here. I meant to say this yesterday, and I didn't remember. Reminder, if you're having a water well drilled for commercial purposes, your well driller is now required to request authorization from the OWRB to make sure you have a water permit on file. So there you go. I meant to see that come out from the Oklahoma Water Resources Board on me. I think it came out, Wednesday. And you came out yesterday. I was going to say something to you guys. So if you're doing for water well for commercial purposes, your water well drill is now required to request authorization from the Oklahoma Water Resources Board to make sure you have a water permit on file. There you go. Well, let's take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. And when I come back, we'll start this conversation about beef.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mickey asked the questions. He wanted to make sure things were properly insured as far as values, not to be too high necessarily. You know, a lot of people are probably going to try to get them on up there where the premium's higher, and Mickey wasn't that way. He wanted real values, didn't want me paying any more premium than I needed to pay, but wanted me properly insured. If you start missing things by $1,000 or $10,000, that adds up in a hurry. Either you'll be underinsured and you'll be disappointed, or you're going to be overinsured and paying too much premium anyways. And Mickey made it a point that we nailed it on the head on every little last piece that I had. He took the time to do that. He made sure it was right. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Anytime Jimmy Clark enters a room, he don't turn the lights on. He turns the dark off. Stewards of the land, this is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 5th. 1,395 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 238 brought 318. 22 at 427 brought 286. 5 at 502 brought 253. 8 at 581 brought 244. At 620 brought 220. 9 at 634 brought 238. 8 at 746 brought 207. 7 head of heifers at 266 brought 294. 5 at 347 brought 244. 6 at 506 brought 222. 3 at 517 brought 227. 8 at 531 brought 219. 4 at 696 brought 189.50. 16 at 891 brought 170. Butcher cows were 11 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 80 to 126. Bred cows were 960 to 1650. Pairs brought 1150 to 2225. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095. All right, Jimmy, go ahead and turn the dark back on.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. For your northwest Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle, I have picked the city of Sealing, Oklahoma for your forecast. Currently is 72 degrees there, dew point 61, humidity is 70. No rain so far today in the last 24 hours. Winds are southeast, 14 miles an hour, or out of southeast. Wind gust up to 22. Sunset 8:31. Today a 30% chance of thunderstorms and 81. Tomorrow mostly sunny, 89. Saturday 60% chance of rain, 76 for a high. Saturday night 70% chance of rain. Sunday 80% chance of rain and a high of 74. And Monday 60% chance of rain. Looks like starting tomorrow night all the way through Tuesday now, you guys have a pretty good shot at some rain. So anyway, that's for Sealing, Oklahoma. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for all western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle coming up for you here pretty quick, next segment. All right. It's National Beef Month. Everybody celebrate. Eat beef. That's what you need to do. And you need to also buy locally from a local producer and have it processed local. You know, that's my theory. That's my theme. Anyway, so grass-fed, grass-finished, grass-fed, grain-finished, grain-fed, grain-finished. There's all kinds up there, and everybody has their own personal view, and I do. And I'm going to be straight honest with you on my view today. My wife loves grass-finished beef. I love grain-finished beef. So we got a little of both at our house. So each one of them has, you know, Sandy has her judgment on my grain-fed. I got mine on her grass-fed. And I can honestly tell you that most of the beef that I eat from Sandy's grass-finished beef is pretty good. And she doesn't get the steaks too thick. And the differences I notice between grass-finished and grain-finished is the marbling on grass finished is yellow, and the marbling or the fat and the marbling, all that is white on the grain finish. Only thing that I really, really don't like about grass finished beef is when you reheat it, mainly hamburger meat, and I'm not talking about the steaks and stuff. When you reheat it, it has a, I'm not going to say it's a, it makes you puke kind of smell. It just has a distinct smell that I don't like, and I don't smell that good. That's my only gripe about it. And is it healthier? Well, they say it's healthier, so yeah, I guess it is healthier. How? I don't know. But anyway, the marbling on grain-finished beef is quite a bit better, and I'm a marbling kind of guy. So in tenderness, I think grain-finished beef tastes better, and it's more tender. That's just my judgment. I'm not saying I dislike one or the other. Don't you guys get me wrong today. Don't you go out there and say, Jimmy says grass-fed and grass-finished stinks. I'm just giving you my opinion here. I eat them both. So anyway, don't take me out of context here. Anyway, okay. So what is marbling? Okay, marbling in beef refers to the visible white streaks of the intramuscular fat that runs through the muscle tissue in any particular cut. High marbled steaks and other cuts of beef are highly sought after as the intramuscular fat liquefies during the cooking process and provides kind of a self-marinating effect. Yes, it does. As the marbling melts, it infuses the beef with savory, just great richness and a velvety texture. Each bite of a well-marbled steak delivers extraordinary juices and robust flavor beyond compare. I totally agree. I'm getting hungry talking about this. Certain breeds of cattle naturally produce more intense marbled beef, such as the Japanese Wagyu, as we all know that. And we got a lot of people over here mixing it with Angus and stuff over here, giving it some done. But I think everything properly done, I'll match up some people's beef around here with any of the Wagyu. I'll tell you that for sure. And I guess on the Wagyu, on the purebred Japanese Wagyu, it just takes so much longer to get it finished. And that's the reason why they're a little more expensive, because it takes a little bit. So let's talk about the fat. There are two kinds of fat in cattle, the intramuscular and the intramuscular. So anyway, they're just the intramuscular fat refers to those solid white chunks or strips of fat between the muscles. On the other one, the intramuscular occurs inside the muscle tissue. It's those flicks and streaks of white you see scattered amongst the rest part of the meats. So anyway, it's all good. Marbling's all good. How about that? And, you know, you get to score the marbling. And so this one guy on this made this comment. I copied it because I wanted you guys to see what he said it pretty well. So he asked some questions on here, and he said, do cattle need a grain ration to marble? And his answer is no. Does a concentrated ration play an important role in reaching a finished condition faster and more efficiently? Absolutely, he said. Do all cattle have the potential to achieve abundant marbling if you feed them right? His answer is no. And I know two offhand, just off the top of my head, Monty Tucker and Jimmy Taylor, they will tell you this, and they tell it all the time. So if the animal has marbling genetics, your job as a producer is to feed appropriately to fulfill their potential. If the animal doesn't have the proper genetics, it doesn't matter how globy fat they are, they aren't going to grade. I hear Jimmy and Monty talking about this all the time. They get that's what they look in EPDs on their bulls and their cows. They do DNA. They're getting the right genetics in their cattle for the marbling, because some cattle do better than others. And so this is interesting what this guy was saying. However, an animal with all the right genetics that is not properly finished and under conditioned won't either. So there you go. And then another guy said something about fat color depends a lot on the content of the feed, and he is very correct. And that's the reason why a lot of your grass finished beef, no expert in this field, grass finished is more yellow and your grain fed is more white on the deal. Okay. One guy even commented, grass fed but grain finished gives you the best of both worlds. I haven't tried that yet. I'm talk to my wife about this, see if she'll buy grass fed beef and we'll grain finish it with non-GMO feed, of course. Anyway, so what is GMO? Because you hear a lot of these people say we do grass finished beef because of the it's healthier and we don't like this genetically modified stuff, blah blah blah. Okay, here's what a GMO is. It's a genetically modified organism in a plant, an animal, a microorganism that has its genetic material, DNA, change using technology that generally involves the specific modification of the DNA, including the transfer of specific DNA from one organism to the another. Scientists often refer to this process as genetic engineering. Okay, are GMO foods on the market safe to eat? Yes, GMO foods are carefully studied before they are sold to the public to ensure that they are as safe as the foods we currently eat. Studies show that GMOs do not affect you any different than GMO foods. All right, man, I bet my wife is boiling right now. Anyway, does GMO affect your health? GMO foods are as healthy and safe to eat as their non-GMO counterparts. Some GMO plants have actually been modified to improve their nutritional value. An example is GMO soybeans with healthier oils that can be used to replace oils that contain trans fats. Since GMO foods were introduced in the 1990s, research has shown they're just as safe as non-GMO foods. Additionally, the research shows that GMO plants fed to farm animals are as safe as non-GMO animal science. Do GMOs cause allergies or allergic reactions? No, because most food allergies are caused by allergens found in just 9 foods: peanuts, tree nuts, milk, eggs, wheat, soy, shellfish, sesame, and fish. For example, soy is an allergic food available in GMO version. If you're allergic to foods made with traditional non-GMO soy, you will be allergic to foods made with GMO soy. Same thing. There you go. GMO crops are not changed in ways that would increase the risk of cancer for humans or animals. The National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine found patterns of change in cancer rates in the United States are similar to Europe and the United Kingdom, where people eat less GMO foods. Cancer rates are not connected with anything eaten with GMOs. So here's my question for you. If you want to win a pair of Oak Ridge, not even a question, it's a poll. Oak Ridge boys coming to Sugar Creek Casino this weekend. We have text in to the Today and Ag text line, 580-225-9697. I'll take the number 7 person that texts in with their name. I had people yesterday didn't text their name in. You're off the chart if you don't text your name in. And what's your favorite way to eat beef, grass or grain? And there doesn't need to be a war between either one of them. As long as people eat beef, it's fine. It's great. It's long. So what is it? Grass-fed, grass-finished, or grain-finished? Text it in, and after this break, I'll come back and see if we got a winner. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Come and get it. Are you a farmer or livestock producer? Then you're invited to attend one of several ribeye steak dinners and informational meetings courtesy of Ag Defense Risk Management. They'll be sharing the latest details on recent changes to subsidized programs offered by the USDA through federal crop insurance that helps to manage risk you face related to lack of rainfall and falling cattle prices. Leave your checkbooks at home and plan on attending their next meeting Tuesday, May 16th at 2M Ranch and Home, located at 120 North 4th Street in Sayre. Ribeyes will be served at 6:30 p.m. RSVP is not required. For more information, visit their website at agdefenserm.com or call 580-454-4367. Best defense is Ag Defense. Ag Defense is an equal opportunity employer. Hope to see you there.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Once upon a time, Jimmy Clark was bit by a rattlesnake, and after 5 days of excruciating pain, the rattlesnake finally died. A good afternoon once again to Jimmy Clark's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 8th. 1,204 head were sold, 9 head of steers at 409 brought 266, 12 at 467 brought 258.50, 5 at 562 brought 228, 3 at 605 brought 218, 5 at 812 brought 175, 15 at 845 brought 193.50, 125 at 908 brought 197. 3 head of heifers at 307 brought 251, 9 at 491 brought 230, 4 at 623 brought 191, 16 at 697 brought 165, 7 at 806 brought 181, 46 at 811 brought 182.50, 16 at 886 brought 177.50, butcher cows were 69 to 107, butcher bulls brought 102 to 133.50, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction X is 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, that's a sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, give old Brandon Hickey a call at 580-497-6095, I'm talking 580-497-6095.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Woo! Text line was wild. Good job, everybody, for listening. I'll announce your winners here in just a minute. First, your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and I picked the capital of Harmon County, Hollis, for your forecast. 70 at Hollis right now. Humidity's 82. They got 0.61 inches of rain so far in the last 24 hours. Dew point is 65. The winds are out of the south at 15. Sunset is 80 at 8:31. Today, decreasing clouds, 90 degrees for a high. Southwest winds. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 93. Tomorrow night, 50% chance of rain. Saturday, 90% chance of rain, 74 for a high. Saturday night, 80% chance of rain. Sunday, 80% chance of rain and 74 for a high. 80% chance of rain Sunday night. And Monday, 70% chance of rain shower and 74. So tomorrow, enjoy tomorrow then get your hoodies back out. When the wind's blowing and it's raining, 74 is kind of cool. So anyway, they got 6,100 or 610 one-thousandths of an inch, as they talk about that over there in the Grimes area. That's how they do things over there. They always got to add numbers to everything, even if you're measuring rain, temperature, or whatever you get over there. Okay, let's see who the winners are. Winner is, I'm going to give two sets of tickets away today because I'm such a nice guy and I don't have time to play another one to give another couple. All right, Rod Thompson, you're a winner, and his answer was grain. And also said no rain in Salt Springs. Okay, just got a text in. It says no rain in Salt Springs. Remind me where Salt Springs is again. That's up north, isn't it? Yeah, all right. Anyway, also Austin Metter, you're going to win a set of tickets. I don't know if you're going to take Jill or you're going to give them to your mom and dad. You know. So anyway, and they do grain fed. Believe this or not, I got about 15 texts in so far, and it was 50-50, grain versus grass. So good job, everybody. See, it is personal preference. Also, listen up. Grab your pen. Got some hay for sale. Guys texting in, got some hay for sale. Wheat hay for sale for $200 a ton, 580-821-2838. And then there was another one texted in. I got to go back to the page. And that's around Elk City. This hay, wheat hay for sale around Visay and Woodward, $125 to $150 a bale. And their number is 334. I don't know if you, well, I don't know if it's, is for sale or not. Now that I read it, wheat hay around Visay or Woodward, $125 to $150 a bale. I don't know if you're looking or you want to sell. Let me know and then I'll give that number out. My bad. And anyway, you want some wheat hay, there's some for sale right there. Okay, here we go. State wheat crop could be the lowest in a long time. As the 23 Oklahoma wheat harvest draws closer, it looks more and more like a dismal time due to the prolonged drought. Estimate presented at the Oklahoma Grain and Feed Association's 125th meeting last week in Oklahoma City points towards statewide production of 40.7 million bushels, a prediction that has come true. Well, it will be the lowest ever recorded, according to Jeff Hickman, CEO, president of the OGFA. OFGA members took reports from across the state. Hickman said that they crunched the numbers and come up with a total for the 43rd annual wheat crop report. A decade ago, harvest came in at about 46 million bushels statewide. So, and this year's harvest estimates will be about 6 million less than that low point. So they're predicting around 41, 42 million. During the wheat tours Tuesday in the woods in alfalfa counties, Hickman said it looked like Woods County farmers will harvest about one-third of their normal number of bushels. That's probably going to be pretty consistent throughout the area. The report presented at the OGFA meeting was broken down by regions. In the North Central East region, which is Garfield, Grant, Kay, and Noble counties, total production is forecast at 12.3 million bushels, which is 4.6 million bushels in Garfield, 4.2 in Grant, 2 million bushels in Kay County. And 1.5 million in Noble. Garfield and Grant counties traditionally are some of the best producing areas in the state. Yield is forecast to be about an average of 32.8 bushels in the breakdown, and that's 23 bushels. That's in Noble or Garfield, one of those. And then Garfield counties around 23 bushels, 20 in Grant, and 25 in Kay, and 30 in Noble. Hopefully Mother Nature will continue to keep moisture coming and to stay cool during the filling of the head. We have harvested some really good wheat that wasn't very tall. They may be a lot to ask this year, Hickman said. It's too late for this year's crop, he said. The north central west region, which is Alfalfa, Major Woods, and Woodward counties, is expected to produce just 4.369 million bushels of wheat, according to the report, with the average yield of 13.6 bushels an acre. Man, that's sad. John Nichols, general manager of the Carrier Mill and Elevator, tried to remain optimistic Tuesday. We're going to be way down from last year, but I always have hope. He said the recent rains helped some fields. The rain we had was a lifesaver for what we had left, and the moisture and cooler weather amounted to good filling weather. So anyway, for wheat heads that haven't suffered too much from the drought, in many fields, farmers already have filed insurance claims and won't harvest a crop. Hickman said they could make some hay, which is desperately needed by ranchers, or spray the wheat in order to kill and grow another crop during the summer. The lack of grain is going to be affecting more than farmers. Grain dealers who need wheat to sell and make a profit can't generate revenue without a crop. It's going to be a tough year for the economy. And anyway, tough times ahead for the wheat farmers. I know we got a little bit of wheat around here, but most of it's irrigated, and I don't there's some dry land out there, but I don't know how the filling's going. Talked to my father-in-law up there around Billings and Garber, and he said a lot of wheat going towards Enid that they were going to harvest. The heads turned white on them, so they got that late frost, kind of hurt them. Anyway, so we got that going on. That's what it's going for. Yeah, the gentleman that said the wheat hay around Byside and Woodward, he wasn't looking for anyway. That's what it's going for, from anywhere from $125 a bale to $150 a bale for wheat hay up north of us here. And then I got a text from here. The beef I raise for my table are grazed in the field till about 800 pounds. Then they are put into a lot and fed Bermuda grass hay and calf finisher for about 5 to 6 months till they weigh 1,200 to 1,400 pounds. Then they go to the local butcher shop to be processed. The best beef I've ever eaten. There we go. Go for there. We'll do that done. All right. Well, Miss Jill is graduating, so her brother can't go. So we're going to give those tickets away. I already gave some to Rod Thompson. And let's go with Chris Privet. If I said that right, you're going to be a winner of a pair of tickets, too. They'll be up front after my show today. You can pick them up. You need to pick them up for 4 o'clock tomorrow to go see the Oak Ridge boys. Have some fun on that deal right there. Okay. Here we go. The Oklahoma crop progress and condition, I'll give the ones for Texas tomorrow. Parts of the state, as we all know, have received some rainfall in the last few weeks, so it's helped out a little bit. On small grains, the warmer temperatures cause small grains to progress quickly. Producers are continuing to cut small grains for hay due to little grain development. Winter wheat joining is 98%, up 4 points from the previous year. Winter wheat headed reached 77%, up 20 points from the previous years, and up 4 points from the normal. Canola is blooming, reaching 70%. That's up 1 point from the previous year, but down 12 points from normal. Canola coloring reached 5%, down 13 points from the previous year, and down 15 points from normal. Rye joining reached 96%, up 2 points from the previous year. Rye headed reached 91%, up 55 points from the previous year. And oats joining reached 70% and up 11 points from the previous year. And oaks headed reached 47%. I know my oats started heading yesterday. So pray for rain this weekend and it'll be good cutting for hay. Row crops, recent rainfall benefited row crops also. Corn planted reached 41%, up 4 points from the previous year, but 6 from normal. Corn emerged is at 27%. That's 11 points from the previous year. Sorghum planted reached 20%, up 15 points from the previous year, and up 10 points from normal. Soybeans planted reached 8%. That's down 10 points from the previous year, and down 9 points from Neville. Peanuts They're getting it out there. I don't know if you guys been around Beckham, driving around Beckham County, but their peanut farmers are putting the nuts in the ground. Peanuts planted reached 5%, up 1 point from previous year, but down 3 points from normal. Cotton planted reached 5%, up 1 point from the previous year, but down 3 points from normal year. Pasture and range condition was rated at 57%, very poor to fair. Livestock condition was rated at 81%, fair to good. See you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.